everyone, listeners and viewers. This is Ron Stefanski, host of Disrupt Ed, where we get to talk to some of the seemingly ordinary people who are actually doing extraordinary things in the world of work and learning in what I like to describe as a very disrupted world. What do I mean? You know the drill, those of you who have listened in. It's a 5G wired, workforce augmented, technology interconnected, globally interdependent, AI accelerated, Web3 immersive, pandemic interrupted world out there. Nowhere have we seen the amount of change as rapidly and as comprehensively as we have in the last decade. And guess what? It's only going to get more so as AI starts to take on steam. And right behind it is quantum computing, right there, building computers and technology powered like nothing before. So when I had the opportunity to attend a recent workforce event, the Win-Win Summit in Chicago, I listened to two people who were tech titans who've been in the industry a long time and had some powerful words about where we need to go to harness the talent out there in the world of tech. So join with me now as I introduce to you Faith Rotman-Johnson, the Vice President of HR, Talent Acquisition, and Corporate Social Responsibility for Tech Systems. Welcome to the show, Faith.
Thank you.
And then we also have her colleague, John Lullen, who is a director at Tech Systems as well, in the practice of talent acquisition as well. So welcome to the show, John.
Thank you, Ron.
All right, so let's get into this. You guys are overseeing building a tech community, building a tech company, and right in the middle of what you're doing is the biggest disruption of talent that we've seen. It's become the number one choke point for companies, frankly. Finding good talent, finding people that can do the job. And so I want to start at the beginning, though. You guys have been at this for a while. And so starting with you, Faith, I just want you to share a little bit about your origin story, because one of the things that came through loud and clear in your conversation with all of us at Win-Win was how passionate you are about this field and this industry and the work you're doing with Tech Systems. So I want people to hear this.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Long story short, from an origin perspective, 28 years in Allegis Group and Tech Systems, Allegis being the parent of Tech Systems, 21 years specifically in tech and in the IT space, in HR the whole time, in talent acquisition the whole time, but had the opportunity almost 10 years ago now to build out our corporate social responsibility function. And really step into a space that I hadn't played in really that much, but gave me the opportunity to start looking beyond our traditional processes and programs and figure out how we could bring unique partners to the table that supported our mission of creating opportunity and in giving back to our communities where we live and we work and we serve every day. So I got to get involved back then and, you know, as so 2015 to 2020, pretty quiet. And then I think you just in your intro kind of gave all the reasons why the last 5 years have been insane.
Insane is a good word.
Yeah. Times that with technology innovation accelerating, business demand going up, and the IT workforce growing twice as fast in the next 10 years as the regular workforce and the overall U.S. workforce. So, yes, a lot of passion about this, a lot of passion about how we are able to take what we do at tech in creating opportunity and expand that to the communities that we are in. And then ultimately leading to John's world of marketplace inclusion and how we're helping impact that on a larger scale.
John, I want you to jump in with your origin story. Marketplace inclusion is so critical. It's a business imperative more than anything else now. You want the best talent. You want to solve the most complex problems. Really simple. Get a diverse group of people into a room that have different perspectives that may even, in fact, disagree. Put ideas up against each other in tension and create better solutions. So you've been at this for a dozen or more years, John. Tell us your origin story and how you got to be so passionately involved in this endeavor?
Yeah, thank you, Ron. I actually started as a technical recruiter. So, and this is all with the Legis Group via Tech Systems. So for my first couple of years, I was a technical recruiter, which was great. I didn't know much about it until I came into the industry, and it was more of a sports agent for active job seekers in the technology industry. So I loved it.
I like that.
Yeah. And moved into an account executive role, which was kind of the same, but now I was shifting from the job seekers to the people leaders, the hiring managers, and building professional relationships with them to understand what's most important for them and how Tech Systems can help them. I also wanted to get into leadership, and this was important for me for representation. I wanted to make sure that people that came after me saw someone that they could relate to. That was something that was important to me. So I had an opportunity to lead our business operations in Albany, New York, and Stamford, Connecticut. But that entire time, inclusion and workforce development were important areas to me that I was not living 100% in my previous jobs, because that wasn't the core function. There were so many other things operationally from a business perspective. And about 4 years ago, our internal inclusion diversity team that focuses on workforce, workplace, and marketplace realized that there's a huge opportunity in front of us to actually have a sub team, if you will, that focuses on inclusive hiring and workforce modernization and supplier engagement. So once I found out about that, it was a no-brainer for me to join that team. And I've been on that team for the last 4 years, for the last year or so, actually leading that team. And it's a lot, right? I know you mentioned in the beginning talent acquisition, and I would say that's a part of it. That's more in Faith's world. For me, it's inclusive hiring to ensure that when Tech Systems partners with our vast network of clients globally, that we're building teams that consist of the broadest range of backgrounds, perspectives, and experience to bring that creativity and diversity of thought to bear. Because like you said, Ron, it's a business imperative. So that coupled with intentional workforce development and engaging suppliers from all walks of life is what gets me out of bed.
Fantastic. Well, you guys displayed so much of the similar energy on the big stage in Chicago. And I'm curious, you know, John, you mentioned, you know, starting out as a tech recruiter. So you have plugged yourself into the world of employees, in the world of employers, and you've had, you know, and I assume you're continuing that level of engagement. What are you hearing from people front lines about the impact, the most recent impacts of technology and AI in particular, and how it's impacting the way they think about their work and their future in the world of work? Especially, you know, we know how those just joining the workforce are thinking about it. But what about those who are, you know, who've been going along and have been, you know, prospering in the world as it was, and now suddenly wake up to a world that is completely unrecognizable?
Yeah. So disclaimer, I'm not technical, even though I'm in the technology industry. I like to tell everyone I'm tech adjacent. And this is essentially my opinion, the resurgence of AI. Artificial intelligence has been around for so long. Now we're talking about generative AI and agentic AI, and AI adoption at scale is extremely important for so many organizations and people individually. I'd say where we are right now in the technology industry is there are some folks that might be apprehensive, thinking that they might lose their job because of AI. And there are other people that live in the camp of AI is going to actually enhance my job and make everything better. And I would actually venture to say you have a third camp of folks that are in the industry. They might be AI annotators or involved professionally with AI. But when they go home and log off, they don't want to use the tools for a couple of reasons, right? I'm not going to go down deep into the sustainability path, but there are concerns related to the environment when you're building prompts related to AI. So for some folks, there are personal reasons why they don't want to go home and build prompts. And I, even though you didn't ask me this, I live in the camp of when I log off of this podcast, my late night routine with my son will be playing Nintendo Switch, Luigi's Mansion 3. And when we get stuck on a level, I'm talking to ChatGPT, and my wife is like, who are you talking to? I'm like, I'm not talking to a person. I'm trying to get past this level, and I'm leveraging AI to enhance the experience and give my 6-year-old son access to this technology.
That's wild. You know, I was just at the JFF, Jobs for the Future Horizons Conference in New Orleans last week, talking about workforce of the future. And one of the people that I had the privilege of speaking with at some length and is going to be on a subsequent episode is someone I want to connect you guys with. It's Jessica Lindell, the VP of Growth Initiatives at Unity Software. And she, in the midst of looking at learning, she was in the learning space, and then she moved into the gaming space and wanted to see how the two could intersect. She wrote a book called The Career Game Loop, How to Earn and Learn in the New Economy. And it speaks exactly to that notion that some of us are going to have to wake up to a world in which we start playing games with the technology that's out there. We get comfortable with it in a gaming sense, not in a, you know, a punitive sense, but to learn it. You know, in the world of gaming, feedback is just a way to get to the next level. Feedback is just another way to, okay, I got shot, I got killed, I got opted out. You know, I have to start all over again. And that's all that feedback is. And I think, you know, for some of us who are mid or late career, that's a tough lesson, but it's not a tough lesson to those that have been gamers, it turns out, because they're used to being knocked down and then just get back up and shoot for it. So, Faith, how are you seeing this world? You're working at a corporate level. You're looking at the world as corporate social responsibility. And how do those goals intersect with job one, which is to, you know, really develop a community of tech talent for your business and your clients' businesses?
Yeah, I mean, take it back to when we first started kind of down this road. We were bridging and looking for opportunities to bridge a major gap, which is you don't have the individuals graduating four-year colleges at the rate that you used to. They are unattainable for many people, but whether it's the cost, the proximity, whatever it may be, very unattainable. And so when you see a workforce that's growing exponentially or opportunity that's growing exponentially and you can't keep up, that's where our partner Perskolis came in for us. You know, we sat down with them and learned about their mission and understood that they were recognized for doing technology workforce training at no cost to the individuals. So when we realized we could get the talent to upskill or skill in increments and find opportunities where we could take people with basically no technology experience at all and get them into a living wage for their families and for themselves, it was a life changer there. But we were suddenly filling classes of end user support and Java. And we were meeting our clients where they were with skill gaps that we knew about, that they knew about from a technology perspective, while also bringing this group of individuals into the workforce in IT that had never even thought about taking that path. So when we talk about opportunity and we talk about the opportunity goals at Tech Systems, we were just matching that in our communities. And we started small and we've ramped big. And then COVID took us for a spin into virtual training, which we pivoted to amazingly well. And now here we are at a hybrid approach, right? So, you know, 10 years later from when we started with Perskolis, 5 years post the COVID pandemic, we've got classes in the classroom. We've got classes happening in labs, if you will, because of the hands-on work that they have to learn or skills that they have to learn. We have fully virtual classes, and then we have a mix of both. So I just think we've been able to close a gap. Although small and the gap's still really wide, we've been able to close that gap with this partnership with Perskolis, and then ultimately taking that to our customers and tapping right into their purpose and their needs through John's team.
You know, one of the things that struck me when you were having this conversation on stage is how authentic you and Tech Systems is about this issue. Because when I go to these workforce conferences, we hear the same things. Need to get employers more involved. Need to engage in public-private partnerships. And then I always wonder afterwards, did any of that happen? You know, you guys have made it happen with a very, really great partner with Perskolis. It's a great organization doing some really great stuff. But I mean, you plugged in a public-private partnership that clearly addresses, your interest and involvement in in being a good corporate citizen and corporate responsibility, but at the same time, filling a business need, not only for yourself, but the world of tech out there. And that's powerful to me because it sends your GSD index really, really up for me. And I think that's one thing that everyone on this show ultimately has in common is a very high GSD index. John, you're shaking your head. Do you know what a GSD index is?
I do.
It's the get stuff done index.
Yes, indeed.
Both of you, I mean, you're so hands-on about all this stuff. I love that because I walk out of there and I don't feel like, oh, I'm going to walk over to the table and get a T-shirt and they're going to burn the CD for me and I'm going to walk out of here and do that. You know, because truth is, the very basic requirement today is finding good people. Faith, I want to dig in a little bit more about what you were talking about when you were describing people who previously hadn't really thought about tech. What I hear from people is that as we've run out of people for the skill jobs that are there, we're looking at different places. And you can only poach talent from your competitors so much before that becomes a non-starter, really. And so you really have to grow talent in order to create opportunity for people. And so talk to me a little bit about how you see the work that Perskolis is doing, but also the stuff that you're doing in addition to that, driving that closure of the skills gap or creating a world of very, very diverse backgrounds, really, because people are not going through computer science majors. They're not going through a community college or college channel. And historically, a lot of people in tech haven't finished their degree and they get going and they start making a lot of money before they have to do it. How has that changed and insinuated itself into this work that you guys are doing?
Yeah, I mean, if I think back to just even the very beginning of it and you think about the individuals who are looking for opportunity and looking to enhance their skill set, but just don't know where to find what that opportunity looks like. To John's point, they may have been playing video games as a kid, or they may have played around in programming. They may have gotten some of that in their school, you know, in middle school and high school. And then we're sitting here on the other side of it with an unemployment rate in IT that's in the single digits, below single digits, if not close to zero in some of our years throughout this partnership. They are passive job seekers. People that are in IT and sitting in IT over the last 5 years, they've been pretty stable in having opportunity. So you can't rely on that group for a sustainable talent pipeline moving forward. And technology is changing constantly, as we all know. So being able to do it in the way that Perskolis has made it successful, small bites of opportunity, anything from now, and John, correct me if I'm wrong here, 8 weeks up to 16 weeks, maybe a little bit more, where they're coming out with certifications and current skills that immediately can be applied in any number of industries and organizations from an IT perspective. So that shorter learnings curve, that motivation that these individuals bring to the table in the communities where we partner, it's huge, right? I get really excited when I think about the classes, and we had the opportunity to sit through a graduation just 2 months ago in Tempe, Arizona for data center. And data center's the hot word, right? Everybody wants to talk about data center. Well, we had a large class of individuals who we got to see their families, see them graduate. We got to see them step into this space of a data center technologist in the span of about 18, 16 weeks, something to that effect. And now they're all moving on to a big employer to continue their education, continue their learning, but to be technologists in this space. And it's game-changing for them and life-changing for them. And it's opportunity that we're able to create that didn't exist prior to John coming up with the data center curriculum and saying, hey, we need this. Have you guys done this yet? Perskolis, no, we haven't done it, but we'll do it with you. And so jumping in with both feet to build that curriculum, and now is probably one of our hottest tracks.
John, from a marketplace inclusion perspective, what are you seeing with the disruption of technology, the disruption of the talent pipelines that are out there, and how we can make sense of it as companies, as employers, and how we can make sense of it if we're individually navigating that pathway now?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to your question about AI when I was giving you the different camps that folks live in. But professionally, what I'm seeing more is AI is being embedded in some of these workforce development programs or boot camps or curriculums. So when we're upskilling folks on how to be a data center technician, AI is built into that. We also have AI prompt engineering career accelerators. I can name more, but my point is a lot of what I'm hearing from customers are, hey, I don't need a full stack software engineer that knows Java as a language, but doesn't understand artificial intelligence, right? I don't need someone living in a software engineering role working on another language if they don't understand artificial intelligence, because AI adoption is so strong. So what I'm seeing now, I just had this conversation last week with an organization where we were evaluating some of the training programs that they've built internally to reskill some of their existing employees. And when they built these in January, there were no AI modules. There was nothing specific to generative or agentic AI. So I just asked them, I said, hey, to create more opportunity, if you're reskilling your existing workforce, who's helping you build programs where AI is embedded? So that's one part of what I'm saying. What I'm also saying, going back to the topic of inclusion, is with AI adoption being so strong, many organizations thankfully have responsible AI frameworks that they've built to ensure that they're focusing on the ethics, the compliance, the governance, safety, and security. A question that I'll often ask is, that's amazing and that's so important, because AI is inherently biased and you want to make sure you can strike a balance between innovation and bias mitigation. But what are you doing to make sure that your employees, and Ron, you mentioned it earlier, folks are in the back nine of their career. So we're talking about a multi-generational workforce in the industry, six generations. So it's six generations. You might have the newer generations, the millennial parents playing games with their kids and leveraging generative and agentic AI. I built my own agent for the first time, so I'm an adopter. But maybe I would be, maybe I wouldn't be if I was on the back nine of my career. Maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. So the question that I ask often is, how are organizations upskilling their workforce to not only use AI tools, but use them responsibly?
I think those are great questions. And Faith, I wanted to jump in here. In the interest of time, we're going to be wrapping this episode. But the first thing I want to ask is, I'm not done with the two of you. I just think what you guys are doing is so powerful and impactful that I want to do a follow-up episode to this. So can I invite you guys to come back and schedule a second episode where we continue to dig into this subject? Because I will tell you right now, so many of our listening, viewing audience out there in Disrupted are very, very hungry for this kind of information. And I'll tell you why. It's because we live in anxious times. We live in a time where uncertainty is not cool. You know, it's, people are okay with decisions that are made, with organizational restructurings that happen, is they know what's going on and they know what to anticipate. What this world has created is such a level of uncertainty that it's produced anxiety in riveting amounts. And so I'd like to come back to this and continue to explore this topic. But for right now, Faith, last minute thoughts that you can share with our listening and viewing audience. You've been listening to Faith Rotman Johnson and John Lullen from Tech Systems, two incredible tech titans that have really got a bead on where talent is going in this highly disrupted space.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bottom line for me, and if we do get to talk more, would be take a risk. There are a lot of motivated, talented adult learners out there who don't have the same background or the same skill set that many people who have come up through the workforce today had the opportunity to have. So making that connection is our job. It's helping people find the opportunity and the learning, and then ultimately impacting the IT workforce moving ahead. So taking the risk for me is probably the biggest thing. It has brought so much satisfaction to my job, and HR over the last 5 years has not been the easiest function to be a part of and to run. But this work is a breath of fresh air. It's not easy, and it's going to get more complicated. But the ability to unlock those people's potential and create opportunity for them with some of our biggest customers is just a game changer. So take the risk.
Thank you for that. John, your last minute thoughts.
Yeah, I'll be quick because you could have dropped the mic with what Faith just said. The skills gap is growing. We talked about AI so many times on this conversation. The skills gap is growing, and the traditional ways of hiring, even I would say the ways that organizations have hired pre-pandemic, it'll never be the same. This is the era to invest in human potential and re-credential job descriptions and the way that you procure talent, to recognize that folks have been and will continue to be skilled through alternative routes. They might have gained professional development, soft skills coaching, and technical coaching outside of a four-year degree. And that's something that more and more organizations need to recognize and intentionally seek ways to identify talent that have been skilled through alternative routes.
Fantastic. To those of you listening and viewing our podcast, this has been Ron Stefanski on Disrupt Ed with Faith Rotman-Johnson, John Lellen from Tech Systems. You've heard it. They've agreed to come back. You're going to want to hear more from them. So we're going to bring them back as soon as we can get them scheduled. Thanks for joining us today. By the way, to those of you listening and viewing, come on and get disrupted with us. Give us your feedback. Give us your comments and your likes. Share this podcast and come back for more, because we're going to have them back talking about what is essentially one of the biggest challenges and one of the places where they are making epic amount of social impact. And that's getting quality jobs by taking risks and getting out there in a world of disruptive technology. Thanks for joining us.